Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of Hebrews chapter 2, we were talking about the picture of leprosy as a sin of man, and the two birds that God gave as a cure as a picture of Christ's death and resurrection for our sin. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I want you to see the picture or type God sets for us here. Leprosy is a type of sin. It's a disease that man cannot cure it, and that's the idea there. The priest is instructed to take two clean birds alive. One of the birds is to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. That signifies Christ taking on an earthen vessel. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says in John 1:14. The other bird was to be dipped in the blood of the dead bird and let loose in the open field. Jesus said we were to be born again, or we are to be born again, of water and blood. The first bird shows Christ as the heavenly one who enters the earthen vessel of humanity to die for our sins. But the second bird speaks of him as the risen one who has returned to the heavens in all the value of his precious blood. As it pertained to the leper, so to me. I'm cleansed and set into the open field of God's eternity of life in heaven to soar as the bird into the eternal light. Only the perfection of Jesus Christ, my friend, could accomplish this. And verse 10 is a continuation of this thought. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. It became him who created the heavens and the earth and sustains them. In chapter 1, we're told he made the worlds and upholds it by his power, just by the word of his power, as a matter of fact. Now we're reminded that the Creator and the sustaining God is the one who became a man to die for us. So what we're seeing here is that the humanity of Jesus Christ is being discussed in the passage here in Hebrews that is before us. One of the most offensive teachings of this day is evolution. Even theistic evolution is an abomination to God. You believe we evolved, then, my friend, the gospel and the Bible simply cannot be trusted. Now, we're sons brought unto adoption. Heaven is an inheritance, and only those that are children are inheritors of the inheritance. God the Father is Father of the humanity of Jesus Christ by eternal generation and miraculous conception. He is the Father of the saved by regeneration and adoption. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Then in verse 23 of Romans 8, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And so we find out there that really the adoption is the rapture. It's the redemption of the body, is it not, as the Bible describes it? Now, although it seems the sons of God are few in number in one place at one time, when they all are brought together, it will appear that they're many. Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren, and he is the captain of our salvation. Now, the Greek word for captain is translated in chapter 12, verse 2, as author, the author and finisher of our faith. It means chief, leader, or prince. So we see Jesus going before as our guide. He leads us around the pitfalls and dangers of the journey. He subdues enemies while suffering with and comforting those he leads. He does not lead them part of the way and then desert them. Oh, no. He leads them all the way through. That's why the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. And the good news is, in Hebrews 13:5, the leader of our salvation will never leave us alone. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a great Savior that we have. And we find he is made perfect through sufferings. A holy God cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. A righteous God can't but demand that the violated law be satisfied. But a loving God cannot but provide the very payment of the penalty which the law demands. Oh, yes, he doesn't overlook sin. Sin is paid with a full and awful consequence. But in Christ, he paid it for me. He paid it for you. I couldn't do it, and you couldn't do it. See, what you have to be able to do is die and go down into the hell and then be able to make your spirit raise up, re-enter your body, and make your body eternal. You can't do it, and you know you can't. You need a Savior. And only Jesus Christ is that Savior. And that's what the Bible lets us know very candidly and very clearly, that only Christ is the Savior. Now, it's hard to see the cross as sweet. It really is. But since only God can satisfy the demands of God, so only the Messiah, who is one of the persons of the Godhead, only he can provide the sacrifice. And although he despises the shame, he hangs and endures with a holy heart of love. Jesus Christ is the perfection of our sanctification. And the fact that Jesus was made perfect through suffering does not suggest that he was not perfect or that he had sinned. He is the divine Son of God. He is every whit perfect. He is totally undefiled and totally holy. No guile was ever found in his mouth. You see, my friend, this is not in any way referring to his character, rather to his saviorhood by his sufferings. He is perfect man, 100% humanity, and perfect God, 100% God. He is the God-man, not 50-50, 50% God, 50% man, 100% God, 100% man. But the Bible fact is, we are not saved by the sinlessness or perfection of Christ. Rather, we are saved by the shed blood and resurrection. It was his sinlessness and perfection of his humanity that was necessary for him to be an acceptable sacrifice. But the actual saving of us is the shed blood and resurrection. His sinlessness showed how sinful we are. His perfection shows our imperfections. His suffering shows his being made perfect in his humanity ministerially, as we read in Philippians 2:8. He, being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not one thing of his holiness and righteousness was sacrificed ever, even for a cruel, rugged cross. He had to enter the human life as a great high priest for us in heaven. Hebrews 4:14-16 says it this way, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, he became one of us so he could be a sympathizing Savior, an intercessor. How else could he enter without suffering? His sufferings are the foundations of which his present ministry rests. His ministry of not only saving, but of intercession. He must go by the way of Gethsemane in Golgotha, the fullness of suffering, so he can understand our heart when he intercedes at the great throne in heaven. If he'll be perfect man in his humanity, he must be obedient to the will of the Father, and true obedience must be tested by suffering, if he is to be the captain of our faith. That's why Hebrews 5:8-9 says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." With Jesus being the perfection of sanctification, he continues that work with us in verse 11, where it says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Now the word sanctifieth is a present participle in Greek, which speaks of a continuing work. The Holy Spirit of God continually works in the Christian, in the inner man, as we follow the Savior and as we meditate in his word. And he uses that to continually sanctify us in heart and mind. Now, when you get away from the Word of God and obedience and subjection to it, then you get away from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. Now, my friend, that's shouting ground. One with God? One with His Spirit?
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.